was told that you're a little relaxed with your rules simple the whole time.
Well, I want him to learn it. Point is to learn.
He can.
Yeah.
They can do it.
Well, we're making sure they're rightly divided.
They ain't worried about that.
You don't want them to rightly divide? Kind of figured that. Oh, you're talking about that rule? Ah, okay, but...
Just tell them how we're going to preach it and you'll be good.
Thank you. Know.
Slap you, Brother PJ. Brother Christian, please open us in a word of prayer.
Dear Lord, precious Heavenly Father, coming to you today, Lord, to bring and thank you for the opportunity just to be here, Lord, to participate with assistant churches, Lord, as we do, Lord, coming together and learning about your word. I pray we all have open hearts and minds, Lord, as we continue to dive into the scriptures and dig out the truth, Lord. I do pray that you be with the teachers as they go forth, as they've been preparing, Lord, and they teach those things that laid on their hearts. Again, that we're willing to accept and study these things out for ourselves and apply it to our lives. I'm just praying to ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
All right, my verses were already used, but we're going to use them again. Who would like to start with Jude, verse 3? Should I start picking people? It's going to quickly. Brother Alex. And then you're going to get Jude, verse 3. And then Brother Jared, you raise your hand. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. So, well, Brother Alex, go ahead.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the promise of salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
What do you need to be doing? Earnestly contend for the faith. Contend for the faith. This is basic Bible doctrines. I will tell you, learn basic Bible doctrines backward, forward, up, down, left, right. Know it. Know it. You need to know it. All the rightly dividing Brother Cooper was talking about. You need to understand it in the spirit. Brother Jared, your verse.
Verse 13.
1 Corinthians 2, verse 13.
Christians also receive not the word transmitted to teachers, to which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spirit.
Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Why is this important? Because hopefully this, I hope, I pray, I hope, that when you think of spiritual facts, spiritual truths that really are, that this pops in your understanding, that this is how you get it, that this is something that you compare it to. Now, what do I mean by comparing spiritual things with spiritual? All the stuff in rightly dividing, everything that we need to do according to the Word of God, why do we need to do that? So that we can understand what God has made as spiritual fact, that there is such a thing as the kingdom of heaven. And who made the kingdom of heaven?
God.
Is it a fact or is it just an idea? It is a fact. And where is it a fact? It is a spiritual fact, confirmed, taught by the Word of God. Baptism, is baptism just a nice teaching? Is it just something that, you know, this religion teaches this way and that religion teaches that way? What is baptism? It is one of two ordinances that God has declared, and an ordinance, next verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. What is an ordinance? What's an ordinance? A rule, a law. Give me a, describe it to me. What's an ordinance?
Something we're supposed to keep.
Okay, something we're supposed to keep. It is something.
Something we're to be bound by.
Well, let's read it. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 2. Who's got it?
Now.
Brother Craig. Okay, well, he's quick. Go right ahead. Go for it, Brother Reagan.
Okay.
That's good.
And I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you.
Okay, ordinance is a law, is a something that you do, a Ordinance, how many ordinances are there in the New Testament? Two. So when you think about an ordinance, I want you to be thinking about it is something physical that we do to show forth something spiritual. If it is not a spiritual truth in that picture, why do the picture? So much of what we're going to be talking about in baptism. Does baptism picture anything?
Death.
Burial and the resurrection. The death is assumed, but it is the burial and the resurrection. Why? Because Jesus did die, was buried, and he rose again. Any other reason why baptism is there? What else does it picture?
Putting on the old man, raising him.
Okay. It's what we should do in the commitment, Brother Michael.
Is it? Says it saves us not in the redemption of our souls, but in a good answer of good conscience towards God.
So not in what we're talking about. Since that's not what it shows, it what it does for our conscience, but it's not what it shows. Jeff. Okay. And we are going to get to this. Hopefully, we know this a little bit. Baptism shows Jesus Christ, burial and resurrection. Did Jesus actually die? And was he risen?
Yes.
Yes, he was dead, he was buried, and he rose again. Was that just something that happened to him physically?
No.
No, it also, he died spiritually, and he arose spiritually. Yes. It does, it's what it does for us, but it shows, why does it make it qualify? It shows also what happened to me. What happened to you in salvation?
Of course.
And describe it. You died to your sins. In who? What's that?
I see, you just said it. I was spiritually dead. I was spiritually alive.
Exactly. And so, this is what the whole point of this one I was getting to. It shows not only what Jesus did, but what also happened to me. In the fact that Jesus, in Jesus, I am dead. My sin is dead. And I am raised to new life at the point of salvation. That's actually what happened to me in the spirit. Now, you can't see that. I hope it's happened to you. Mm. So the whole point, yes.
And we've actually been talking about this here of late, and go to Colossians 3 a lot. If you then be risen with Christ, I mean, it's a guarantee that you are going to experience, if you die before the Lord comes back, you will experience a resurrection. But even doctrinally, that rapture is considered the first resurrection. So that's a picture of what has already been guaranteed spiritually for you, if you then be risen. How can you say that to somebody that's not dead and grows up in the grave? Except that it's a guarantee.
Yeah, it's a guarantee that this will take place. Yes, Sister Ron.
That scripture you read about ordinances is so important because if you pervert the ordinances, you're perverting the picture of the gospel.
Thank you. That's exactly where I was going. Baptism should be very, very personal.
Happens when you mess up picture.
Yeah, and not only that, but let's say that somebody says that, you know what, you can be baptized by sprinkling. What does that say about what Jesus did for me and my soul?
Maybe.
It would be incomplete. So I'm going to tell you, when people get irritated, get offended, and rightly stand for the doctrine and maybe get a little upset, why would they get upset? Why would they stand so vehemently on the doctrine of God? Because it should be very personal to you. It should matter to you.
It
And it is, and then also the Jesus said the sign of Jonas. Jesus was buried.
Yes.
Because there's prophecy. You start messing with the burial, you're messing with prophecy. Now, how are you going to change that? You're going to start sprinkling? So now how are we going to change Jonah?
Mm-hmm.
Rewrite the book?
Yeah.
It all interlinks. Can't change it. And it, you know, that 11, what is it? 1 Corinthians 11. Where is he at here?
We read verse 2. Is that the one you're looking at? 11 verse 2?
No, it's further on in the chapter, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you.
Yeah.
It was a specific doctrine, a specific instruction on this is what you do.
Yeah.
And that's what Landmark Missionary Baptist, we do what the word says.
Yes.
We don't come up with some other way of doing something. And because God has a meaning for it all, there's purpose for everything that he's ever instructed. That's why we don't change it, because that's how it was delivered.
Yeah, that's how it was delivered. And then, not only, I always like to think about it, because it is very personal, it is very real, I hope, to everybody in this room. You know, I was lost. I was condemned. And then what happened, I'm going to tell you what happened to me. The Lord forgave my sin. He shed his blood, and I received redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And I received new life. And just tell you, I don't remember if I talked about this. The reality is, it is hard today to find people who will stand on the Word of God. Looking, do a trip, Arizona, watching some baseball, called a church that looked on its paper. Man, I think that they probably started out Scriptural Baptist. But there was one little phrase in the salvation portion where it talked, or it made me think, well, okay, I better ask him a question. So I just sent him an email, asked him about Calvinism. I think they were probably Scriptural Baptist, but somewhere in this guy's brain, and he was too smart for his own britches, and he gave you all kinds of word salads, why the Bible means something that it doesn't mean, and how, everlasting doesn't really mean everlasting, and anyone doesn't actually mean anyone, and to all doesn't really mean to all, it just means to certain. You're shaking your head. Know the basics. Get to learn the basics. Because Brother Dale's class, we've been fighting this stuff for 2,000 years. And are we fighting on whether this king was named this and that king was named that?
Rich.
What are we fighting on?
Basic doctrine.
We're talking salvation, sprinkling for baptism. What is a church? So know the scriptures.
I think that's why people get confused. It's not the Bible that's confusing. It's the people teaching and how we read it. Because if you don't stick to the doctrine, then obviously it's like reading, you know, a different book in different language. Like, you have to read it the way it's supposed to be read.
Yeah.
You can't just go off your feelings. Like, I feel like this would be better. Nobody cares.
And and you're right, but here's how it happens. Here's how it starts. And if you've been paying attention a little about Brother Dale's class, he's been naming certain people's names come up. What was the origin? Okay.
Oregon, I guess.
Oregon, whatever it is. You know what? I have no doubt he was an influential, probably a charismatic guy. You know how many charismatic guys there are? A lot.
So I remember, instead of the guy you talked to, Calvinist, probably heavily influenced by a guy named John MacArthur.
Oh, I don't know where he's
so he goes. I find out because we had some visitors come and they kept throwing his name out and I looked him up. And then last year, I think it was, my wife was going through one of the quarterlies and they referenced one of his books. And the guy's not a Baptist. But he's very prominent. He has videos on almost everything in the New Testament. And people eat his stuff up. And they take every word that he says. And without
put it up against the scriptures because the stuff that he says is absolutely idiotic.
Yep.
But they didn't buy it. McCarthy, he has some learning problems.
Because it is a lot easier just to listen to that guy because he sounds really smart and it's nice.
Very left.
I will tell you, too many people get their doctrine that way. And I'm going to tell you, so do Baptists.
It's easier to be told what God says than it is to look and see for yourself what it says.
Absolutely. It's not right. And pastors and future pastors, members of the church that you are a pastor of, will believe things simply because you teach them. Now, you better, as a child, be willing. That's fine to start as a newborn babe, but you better teach them to grow up. And what? Stand on their own two feet. Learn the doctrine themselves. Be strong. Be a grown-up. Brother Jacob.
You and I have a mirror over Central Oregon. That's the novel. It doesn't matter what the Bible had to say. Yeah. It was, my dad did this, or my dad preached this, taught the church that
it was supposed to be. Let's be more specific.
Well, you do have to watch out for that Primeville crap, that crowd over there, right? I think Brother Bo just called me a Southern Baptist. So. No? All right. Know the scriptures. Learn the scriptures yourself. Get them down. And you think you got baptism down? Get it again. Look at it again. Understand it. Understand the how. Understand the why. Understand what's the importance of it. Understand why did God, and we're going to look at it, why have we laid out 5 points of scriptural baptism? And what is the significance of those? Why are those important? And are they real? Is it something that is actually spiritually taught, that is, that God wants us to keep them for a specific reason? So don't just think, oh yeah, I know these, because I guarantee almost everybody in here, I'm hoping, can tell me the 5 points of scriptural baptism. Do you know why they're there? Do you know the reason? Do you know the scriptures behind them? Right? And we are going to look at some of those as we go through. And all that was just introduction, and I'm not going to get very far today. I'm hoping I got this remainder of this class and 3 classes left. Hopefully I'll get through baptism. If not, too bad for you guys. Definition. Baptize. Who knows it? Well, Josh, I'm relying on you. Baptize. What does it mean? Greek word is?
Baptizo.
Baptizo. What does it mean?
Immersion in water.
Dip. Immerse. Submerge. Plunge. Completely immerse. Yes. So the word itself, understand the words itself, what baptism actually means. We'll look at some of the scriptures too. All right, but we're going to start with actually John. John chapter 1. We're going to merge a couple of little things here and learning a little bit about John the Baptist. All right, so John chapter 1, 6 through 8. Who's got it? John chapter 1, 6 through 8. Brother Michael, go right ahead.
The little man sat beside his name is John. Same thing,
Through 8. It's doing a good job.
The same came forward as to bear witness of life, that all men good and might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light.
Okay, so who is this guy?
John.
This guy by the name of?
John.
And who sent him?
God
sent him. Was there any greater authority than God? So God sent him to do this job. And what was his job?
Bear witness of light.
Bear witness of that light. To bring out that light. Mark chapter 1. And now hopefully we'll get through some scripture somewhat quickly. You got questions? Holler. You want to add something? I might let you. Mark chapter 1:1-4. We've got it. Jax, right ahead.
Beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, say, Lord, our send the messenger before thy face, which shall turn away before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins.
Okay, so verse 1, what are we now beginning to talk about? The beginning of what?
Gospel.
The beginning of the gospel of who?
Yes.
Of Jesus Christ. And where did the beginning of gospel of Jesus Christ begin?
Our chapter 1.
Chapter 1 with?
For John the Baptist.
A guy by the name of John the Baptist. The preaching of a guy by the name of John the Baptist. And what was John the Baptist supposed to do according to these verses? Prepare the way. What was that, Brother Alex?
Voice of one crying in the wilderness.
Voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way. He was to prepare the material for Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to look a little bit more about what that prepare that material was, but let's look at a couple of the prophecies. Malachi 3, verse 1. Brother Christian, please get that one. Malachi 3, 1.
Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom I delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord hosts.
So was John the Baptist a planned individual?
Amen.
Yes, God prophesied that he was going to come, and what was he going to do? Prepare the way of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. We've got it. Bill Reagan, go ahead.
The voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Okay, so just as our spiritual picture, was this yet built spiritually? No, not. No. Who built this?
Jesus.
Jesus built it. So when John showed up in the scene, was this built yet?
No.
No. What was John doing?
Preparing.
He was preparing the way. And so how was he preparing them? Right? What's that? Okay, so first of all, he was preaching the direct message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Was that message in the Old Testament?
Yes.
Yes, but it was now more in your face, more direct.
Different
method. Repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was still in the Old Testament. Right now, this little part, what else did John the Baptist do?
He baptized.
He baptized. Now, I want to do this little bit here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Was baptism new?
No.
Oh, I'm glad somebody said no. Who said no?
Most.
Oh, got two people that said no. Most. How can you say that it was not new?
Here is behind you. 1 Corinthians 2.
Oh, Brother Jared, go ahead. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 and 2.
For brethren, I would not be ignorant how that all our fathers were passed, are run to the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea.
So this was not new. Okay? Understand, when John the Baptist came, he was not preaching, teaching something new. The manner that he was doing it was different than it was before. It was direct. And then we're going to look a little bit other thing that he did here. Baptism itself was not new, but who he baptized was a little different.
They were baptized.
Well, this was a physical right here when they walked through the sea. That was something physical that they did. Now you're right. Now that thing was, what did baptism? Was it, what was the picture even then? And now the baptism was a picture of what? Burial and resurrection. Right? So Exodus chapter 30. Did I see a hand? Nope. Exodus 30, verse 18. Who's got it?
Right.
Brother BJ, go right ahead.
Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and its foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle and the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein.
Okay. So somebody that has a little bit of knowledge, thought about this a little bit. What did they do to the priests the first time that they got ready to be a priest? The first time, I think they were age 30. What did they do?
Exodus 40 says, Moses washed them withal.
Wash them withal. Okay. Anybody ever take the time and read and studied a little bit, study that washed withal? The whole of a thing, completely washed. Okay. Now, wait a minute, Brother Josh. You made a bold statement there. Nowhere does it say that they got baptized.
That's what washed Paul is.
I want to do a little reverse psychology on you.
Immersion.
How do you know that they were immersed and not just simply bathed completely?
Or just go in the bathtub.
Ow. This is, I'm purposely trying to be a little bit confusing in that.
Yeah.
How do you know, and this is hopefully a little bit of knowledge, I haven't gone over it, so hopefully you guys know this a little bit. Baptism today, what is baptism today? How do you physically do baptism today? What is it?
Where you come?
Submersed. Yeah, I thought he was in. Submersed. Yeah, this is the easiest questions, right? Where I'm not trying to deceive you. They are completely submersed. Okay? So if they are completely submersed today, when the picture of the Old Testament says washed with all, what do you know happened? They were submersed. So yeah, and I've had this, and this is why I'm going through this. Well, you could do a word definition, look at this, where it says washed with all, and you could assume, well, okay, maybe you're fully submersed, but also maybe they just took a sponge and washed all of you. Which one was it? Completely immersed. How do you know that it's completely immersed? Because what is baptism today? Complete immersion. So what do you know this was? Complete immersion.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, we don't know the dimensions of that laver, but we do know the dimensions of the 10 lavers that went into the temple, and they I'm gonna guess it was very similar in size as the one there, but that one was 40 baths, which a bath is 6 gallons, so it's 240 gallons.
It's a lot of water.
So it's a lot of water.
Yeah.
Plenty to get submersed in.
Plenty to get submersed in.
And that was 1 Kings 7:38.
Okay. Yeah. So I see a hand back here.
I was saying this, the Old Testament and the New Testament is something that have been supported churches.
Yes. Old Testament, New Testament, sport, they harmonize. So if we know that in the New Testament, we're talking baptism is full immersion, when you see the baptism, the wash with all, what do you know about the Old Testament?
Mm-hmm. Wash with.
It's wash with all.
Right. And when you wash yourself, you can't get clean by just sprinkling yourself. Yeah.
Good. Son of the hand, Brother Jim.
Bring in what you already read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. They were for sure fully immersed. As they're immersed.
Yeah. So here's the point. When the John the Baptist showed up and he was doing baptism, was the people of Israel completely ignorant in regards to full submersion?
No.
No, but who did they see get fully submersed? Well, they did see that. But before that,
the priests.
The priests got fully submersed.
They probably didn't see that. That was at least not in that case.
At least they knew about it. I don't know if they physically, but every year, I assume they got new priests coming in because you got 30-year-olds showing up. And so I think this is probably a regular thing that took place. So this wasn't new, but it was new for who got baptized, because John the Baptist would baptize who?
All who believed.
All who believed.
Bring
forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. So who got the baptism was a little different. But the manner and the custom of baptizing was not new. So the how he's bringing it out, does that kind of make sense? Questions, comments? Exodus chapter 31. Talking about John preparing the way. Exodus 31, 1 through 4. Who's got it? Go ahead, the Jacks.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called the name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have told thee of the fear of God, its will, and in understanding and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. To devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship.
Okay, so who did God set up here? A guy by the name of Bezaleel. Why is Bezaleel even here? What's that?
He's good at what he does.
Because he's good at what he does. God had a job for him. What's that job? He was to prepare the material. He was to get it ready. Prepare the material. And what was John supposed to do? Prepare the material. Prepare the way of the Lord. Luke chapter 3. Reading this one, because is the only thing, or was the only thing that John did he only preach salvation and baptize people?
No.
What did he do? He prepared them. He prepared the material. And in what way was he preparing the material? He was teaching doctrine. He was teaching the way of the Lord. So, Luke chapter 3, 7 through 11. Who's got it? Go ahead, Brother Jared.
Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, so generations of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourself, we have Abraham for our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children of Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise.
Okay, and we can keep reading here, but, well, you probably ought to, but I'm going to have you read through 14.
Then came also a publican to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise commanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages.
Okay, so in that whole passage right there, when you break it down and you look at it, what was the first thing that he... did he just baptize anybody? What was his requirement before baptism?
Fruits,
meat for repentance. What do we say today? How did you get saved? What is your testimony? What happened to you? Do you have fruits, meat for repentance? And then what did he do if they had fruits, meat for repentance? Baptize them. How did he baptize? Full immersion. And then what did he do?
Instruct
them, began to prepare them, began to teach them how to conduct themselves, and probably a lot of other doctrine of the boat.
Well, I've had people, argue and contend that, the church is not, the church is overemphasized, right, overemphasized, church, not as big a deal as we make it, and so on and so forth. Yet, we have churches that will still emphasize salvation, will still emphasize the King James Version, and they will still emphasize baptism. That's as far as they go. John the Baptist, in preparing this material, he
He knew what was going to be built with it. He knew 100% he knew what the Lord's New Testament church was. He knew what it was about. And he wasn't a part of it. But in preparing this material, it's not as if he was just gathering all of this stuff and compiling it and going, so I don't know what's going to be built, but I'm just getting all the 2x4s and all the nails, and who knows? He says in John 3, he says, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. I mean, he called Jesus the bridegroom.
Yeah.
And in chapter 1, he said, I baptize you with water. He that cometh after me is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So John saw the picture. I mean, it says that the Holy Abba Bezalel were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were controlled by the Holy Ghost. They were completely given over. John was a holy man. He was a prophet of the Lord, and you know, God gave show him the vision, or did he see this picture, the pattern, whatever it was. He knew. I mean, we sell him short while he was just a dumb Baptist. He just came and baptized him with water, but he had no idea what was going on. He knew exactly what the Lord's New Testament church was. He knew who the bridegroom was. He knew what the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He knew that the day of Pentecost was going to happen. He may not have known that that's what it was called, but it's like, and Peter and John and these other disciples, he taught this. He prepared them so that when they were called out to be New Testament church members, they were ready.
Yes. And that brings me to a thought process here. I try to emphasize, and I'll get you here in a second, brother. Our forefathers were not stupid people. In fact, quite the opposite. I think they were probably a lot smarter than you and I many times. And I always think about this. Abraham knew much more than what we give him credit for. John the Baptist knew exactly what he was doing. You look at that, it is amazing, these things that these our brethren knew. All right, Brother Ryan, you had your hand up?
Yeah, just Luke 11:1 right here. It's the model prayer. So it just says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples.
Yeah.
So that's another one.
John was preparing them, getting them ready, because he knew, this altar of incense right there, teaching them how to pray.
I think Sister Charity.
I just want to read.
Oh, you wanted to read. I don't got more verses right now. I'm out of time. I'm actually chasing. I'm stealing. Please.
And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people.
Many other things. Wasn't new, and he was preparing the way, Brother Nathan.
Enoch, the account in
preach of the second coming.
It blows me away. Yeah. You know, I mean, when you're reading it, there's no indication there, but how did Jude know that? So it must have been revelation to him that that's what Enoch was preaching 6,000 years ago. Something that we're still waiting for.
Yeah. So don't get this idea that Baptists were dumb bumpkins. They don't know anything. They didn't understand anything. They understood. Brother Crabtree.
Absolutely understood. The Old Testament.
Yes. Yes.
All in there.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you look at that. Old Testament shows what? The New Testament. They were understood. Yeah.
Went over John the Baptist in our church Bible study on Tuesday, and we went over what John preached and preaching the gospel and how he also preached on hell and how they escaped that and all that. And then so I asked the question, where did he get all this from? It was the Old Testament.
Yeah.
What about almost everybody in the Bible? Where do they get all of their teaching? It's from the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And then so it put it back onto us. And are we able to, like them, use the Old Testament to show forth the new? Because it's there.
It is there.
We can. We just heavily rely more on the New Testament that if we did both, man, how much more could we be able to expound?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, I am out of time. I already stole 5 minutes from Brother Nathan. Let's all stand.